hope and freedom, symbol of liberty. Red, white, and blue are its colors, colors both brilliant and clear, colors with much deeper meaning than at first appear. Red is for blood of patriots who have died to free. Justice and government of love. Blue is for honor and faith in all we do. This is my flag. This is all glory. The
If you would take your Bibles, if you have them, and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, if you can find it, and towards the beginning of your Bible, in 2 Chronicles, if you don't, that's fine. I'll read one verse for you this morning. But as you find that, if you're able, if you would stand to your feet for a moment, I know I'm between you and a free lunch, and so I'll try not to be long. We have a gourmet hot dog lunch planned for you next door. It's very nice, and even better, it's air-conditioned over there, too. And so we're looking forward to that in a minute. If you're able to stay, we'd love for you to join us. If you're not, we understand that as well. And that goes for our guests that we have, of course. If they need to slip out for some reason, we'll understand that, of course. We're in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. Second Chronicles chapter 7. And verse number 14, the Bible says this: If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If you have the word of God with you, if you'd read that out loud with me, and we'll read it all together. Ready and begin. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this day, for this service, Lord, to honor you, first of all, and to honor our country, to honor those that have sacrificed for our country as well. We're a very blessed people today. As we close in on the another anniversary of our country's existence, Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. But Lord, we know that if our country were to continue, and that it continue in the right direction, Lord, we know that we need to continue following you. We thank you for your blessing this time we've had here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. On Thursday, America celebrates her 248th year anniversary as a nation. We're a nation founded upon Christian principles that are clearly shown in our documents and in the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence was adopted on July 4th, 1776 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's one of the greatest documents ever written by man and by God's guidance, I believe. 56 brave men from the 13 colonies signed this document. They immediately became traitors of Britain at that moment. To read of what they would go through because of signing this declaration, their independence from Britain, they put their lives and their families' lives on the line, and many of them lost everything. These men became known as the founding fathers of our country. The purpose of this declaration was to officially separate the 13 colonies from the authority, rule, and representation of the King of England. These men, on behalf of the respective colonies, declared this new land to be free and independent from the power and authority of any other force save that of God. In the preamble, It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." America was founded to be a free country, and aren't you thankful for that today? But know this, that freedom always comes with a price. And when we take our freedom for granted and think it's expected or handed over to us, then we've missed the purpose and the history and the understanding of the country that's been given to us by the Lord and by those that have sacrificed for our freedoms. Over 1 million Americans have died protecting the freedoms that we have today. As it was sung about and mentioned already, the red representing these stripes also represent the blood that was shed for our freedoms today. Those that we've never met, may never know their names, fought and died for the freedoms that we sometimes trample over today, that some would take for granted. America has never been and will never be a perfect nation, but that should not stop us from striving to be a better nation and closer to what God would want us to be. Our nation was founded upon God, and it is turning further and further away from God each and every day, and it's easy to see that. Although I love America and I love our country, America must turn back to God. If our country are to continue on the path that it's taking, the Lord's judgment would be upon our nation as it is already at this time. On our currency, we print, "In God we trust." This became the official motto of the United States of America. Sometimes we print and put things on paper that sometimes we don't always follow. And I would say today that we would come back to as a nation to say, "In God we trust, in the real God of heaven." We pledge, and it was added to the pledge over time, to add one nation under God. Again, our nation was clearly founded upon Christian principles and founded upon the Word of God and on our Creator. People came to this country looking for freedom, and freedom of religion was one of the main purposes that our country was founded upon. So we could freely worship God, and we could have the freedom to worship who you want. It is not my job to tell you what to believe and not to believe and who to worship, but that we would have the freedom to worship as we would like. But it is also our freedom to tell you about the God of heaven who did give us the freedoms that we hold today. Although our nation has experienced great blessings, it has also experienced great change. And it's easy to see that over the years, over my lifetime, and many of you could attest to that more than I could about how much our country has changed. There's a man named Alexander Tytler. He was a Scottish historian who lived at the same time as our American founding fathers. He described a repeating cycle that he would see in history. Tytler said that this cycle starts out with a society in bondage, then it goes in this sequence and in this cycle. And the cycle that these countries go through is from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency. From complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back into bondage. I couldn't tell you exactly where our nation is today, but we're further down that list than I would like to say, where we would become complacent, apathetic, and then dependent. We look back and we see where our country has been, but when we look back, we should be thankful, but we also should learn from history. We should learn from where nations have gone that were once strong and did serve God, and God was blessing them to where they turned against God, and where those nations are not near the power that they were where they once were. How and when will our great nation turn back to God? It starts in your life. It starts in your home. It starts in this church. It starts in our city. How can we pass blame on others when we're not what's right in our country? How can we expect others to hold the values and the morals and the principles that our country was founded upon, and yet we do not hold those ourselves? See, it's easy to point the finger and pass the blame unto others when sometimes we give ourselves a pass in those ways. Again, yes, I love our country, I love America, I love our flag, and I wouldn't change it for the world. But if we could turn our nation back to God, my, how God could use America greatly again, as God once did, and I believe God still does, but how God wants to, I believe, in the future. As we look at this verse, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, it makes it personal to us. If in my life, and in my home, and in my church, in the places where I meet others, that God would make a change in my life first to better our city, our workplaces, our streets, our country, and affect this world for Christ. There's a man named Nathan Hale. He was an American spy during the Revolutionary War. He was captured by the British and executed the following day without any trial. It is said that these are his last words as follows: I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country. I regret that I have but one life to live for my country. It is debated whether or not those actually were his last words, but may that be our spirit and our motto, that we are here to give, not to get. We're here to give to others, to this current generation, to the generations coming after us, for our children, for our grandchildren, for those that we would never meet. May we leave behind a country that they're proud of and that God would bless, and not a country that they'd have to be ashamed of and that God would have to have his judgment upon. America's not here for me, but I'm here for America. God put you here, as the Bible would say about Esther, for such a time as this. God placed you here to make a difference. God placed you here to be a light in this world. As we look at these verses, God is speaking to a new king. His name is Solomon. He was taken over for his father, a great king, King David. David had his faults, as anyone did. And when he took over that great nation of Israel, God's chosen people, and he would decide what kind of king he would be. God came to Solomon in a dream that night and said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, he could probably ask for riches and power and strength and all that a king would want. But instead, he turned to God and said, "God, give me wisdom. For I don't know how to rule your people. They're too great. I don't know how to come in and go out. I'm just as but a child. God, help me," in other words, "to do right. Help me to be right as the king of this nation." And as Solomon would become the king, and God would appear to Solomon in this dream after they had sacrifices before God, and God would say this in verse number 13, and he would say, "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilences among my people," and God's blessing was upon them. He had just taken all those sacrifices that Solomon had offered, but he said, "But if I take my hand off of this land, if the blessings were to leave, if the pestilence were to come, if things don't go the right direction," then he gets to verse number 14. If things start changing, then he says, "If my people." He's not talking about the rest of the world. He's talking about the Israelite people. He said, "But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," this is God's people he's talking about, "then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." That's my prayer today. I hope you pray for your country. I hope you pray for your leaders. We could make excuses. We could pass the blame. But instead, why don't we do what's right? And why don't we pray for what God has given to us? My challenge to you this morning is this: Lord, heal our land. Lord, heal our land. How will this happen? First of all, when we return to a dependence on God. My, how we become so self-sufficient and so prosperous and so blessed. As you look around this world today and you look in our nation, how incredibly blessed we are. Those that even live in poverty today in our country are rich compared to many other parts of this world. And I'm not trying to down those that are in poverty today, but our poverty is riches in most countries of this world. My, how blessed we are, and many of us are blessed way more than that, aren't we? We've been blessed by God. But as we looked at that cycle, that list we looked at before, how quickly we go from the blessings and the prosperity to apathy and complacency to where we end up back in bondage again, because we start to think that we amassed all this wealth on our own. And when you start to be so wealthy and so blessed in some ways, we start to forget where it came from. We start to forget the God of heaven is the one that even gives you breath. The God of heaven is the one that gives you life. The God of heaven that gives you strength and ability, and everything that we have, it truly does come from God. God is our creator. He's our sustainer. He's our savior. He's the giver of life. Our God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Our God is the bread of life. He is the everlasting water. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He's everywhere at once. The God of heaven is not a man just like you and me. He's the God of this universe, our creator, our sustainer, and the one that died to be our savior. As you think about those that sacrificed for our country, you read in history, you look at those that are currently serving our country, and you think of the sacrifice that they have given to us. The book of John says this: greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The greatest thing you can give to someone else is to give your life for another, to put your life on the line to sacrifice for the freedom and the safety and health of another person. Well, there is no one that has sacrificed more than Jesus Christ. There is no one that has sacrificed more than the God of heaven that came to this earth, sinless, perfect Son of God, and he came for one purpose: to die and to pay for your sins and mine. He saw that we were in bondage, that our sin nature, it was punishable by death to a place called hell, the Bible said. And he looked at mankind, and it says in John 3:16, I'm sure you know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God the Father sent his own Son and said, he's going to come and die for you. Not for the wrong that Jesus had done, but for the wrong that you and I have done. And he sacrificed his life. Why? It says this: that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. May we remember who our Creator is, who our Sustainer is, who the God of heaven is, and not forget our dependency in God. Believing in God is one thing, putting your faith in God is another. Believing there is a God, believing the Bible way to heaven is one thing, but putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone, that he died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine, and that he is the only way to heaven, the Bible says. Have you trusted in him? Do you know him as your Savior? Have you asked him to come into your heart? Have you put your dependence on God for your salvation? Lord, heal our land. We must return to dependence on God. We must return to our knees in prayer. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That if we as Christians, if we as God's people were to get on our knees and say, God, heal our land. Help our nation. Turn them back to you, Lord. May we bring ourselves from a standing posture and pride before God to kneeling before the God of heaven and saying, God, I humbly come before you and ask for your help. God has no business to need to bless us, but only by his favor. And he said, if you will humble yourselves and if you'll pray and get on your knees and talk to God and seek my face, then things start to change in just a moment. Would we as a nation turn on our knees in prayer to God? May we as a nation take our pride, take our arrogance, take our own ways and come to God and before his word and say, God, would you help us? God, would you heal us? We need you today. Instead of blaming, why don't we pray? I'm not saying there's not wrong, and God is very clear what's right and wrong in the word of God, but may we pray for our country. Instead of bad-mouthing our country and our leaders, may we stand up and pray before them, before the God of heaven, more than we'd speak against them. And may we not put our name and our words against them at all, but may we pray before God and say, God, would you move their heart? The Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Our nation is in God's hands. And how do we speak to God? Through prayer. May we return on our knees in prayer. It says this, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And it says, and turn from their wicked ways. If we were to take ourselves and humble ourselves before God and in dependence upon him, and the Bible says, and to turn from our wicked ways. May we turn from our wicked ways towards God, not what we believe is right or wrong, but what God says in his word, and accept that by faith. May we return to holiness. God cannot and will not bless wicked living. God cannot and will not bless those that curse his name and walk contrary to the word of God. God cannot bless that. May we walk in holiness. May we return to a nation of holiness where we uplift right, and may we condone what's wrong, standing before the God of heaven and accepting God's word by faith. And then the Bible says this in the last part of that verse. It says, then will I hear from heaven. After we've done our part, then the Bible says that God said, then will I hear from heaven. And then will I forgive their sin. And then will I heal their land. That doesn't come until God's people thoroughly get right with God. That's not until God's people get on their knees before God and realize their dependence on God and where our blessings truly come from. That's not until we turn against our wicked ways. Not others, but our own wicked ways. And then, after those things happen, then God says, then I'll hear from heaven. I hear my child. I see my people. I see that they're turning back to me. You say, but look at where everyone's going in this country. But there are others that are standing for what's right. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Aren't you thankful for the forgiveness of God? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, the Bible says, from all unrighteousness. That God, I believe, is willing to forgive our sin and to turn our nation back to him. And he says, and will heal their land. And will heal it. I can come before you this morning and I believe that God, we must have God's healing on our land. There's a lot. What does healing come? What do you need healing from? Because there's some kind of a hurt. There's some kind of a scar. There's some kind of an injury. There's something that happened that needs to be healed, to be brought back to the condition where it should be. And we truly do need God's healing. You ever have that injury and you think, oh, it'll heal itself. I'm sure it'll be fine. And it only seems to get worse and worse and worse as you ignore it. And you think, I don't need the doctor. I'm sure I can figure it out. And you go WebMD it and try to be your own doctor, only realizing, oh, I didn't know what I was doing. And then you go to someone, you say, I need help. And they run some tests and they tell you, well, here's your problem and here's what you need to do for healing. Well, I can tell you this. At Shasta Baptist Church today, as we open up the Word of God, we realize that healing must come from God. Healing must come from God. It comes from God's Word. It comes from obedience to following God's way. It comes from obeying and following what God would have us to do as a nation. But where does it start? It starts with you, and it starts with me. My people. Let's not point the finger at others, but let's point the finger back at us and say, God, everyone else may not be right. There may not be many others standing for God, but what about me, Lord? Where do I need to stand for what is right? And God said, then I'll hear from heaven. And then will I forgive their sin, and then will I heal their land. I want to encourage you with this challenge today. We need a healing in America today. You believe that? You believe that we need a healing in our country today? This is in no way meant to be a bad mouth on our country in any way, shape, or manner. But to know this, that we can be better and closer and more right with God than we are today. So what's it going to take? It's going to take some work. Getting on your knees, coming before God and saying, God, I need your help. God, I need your healing. God, I need your forgiveness today. With head bowed and eyes closed, we're going to conclude in a word of prayer this morning. How are we going to turn back to God? First of all, realizing that God is our Creator, that He died to be our Savior. Know this, that God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, the Bible says, to die on the cross, that perfect, sinless sacrifice to pay for your sins and mine. The Bible says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, the Bible says. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? Could you say without a shadow of a doubt, based on the Word of God and by your faith in Him, that you've been born again, that you've been saved, you put your faith in the God of heaven, and that you know you go to heaven someday? Or would there be some doubt? Would there be some question? Would there be some worry in that manner? We don't generally do this, but for today I want to encourage you with this. If you've never settled that matter of your salvation right there in your seat, if you'd be willing to admit that as a sinner that we've all done wrong, that there's a punishment for our sin, the Bible says, according to the Word of God, in a place called hell. That's what we deserve. That's not what God wants. That's what God's judgment and God's holiness condemns, our sin. But that God in His love and in His mercy and His grace sent His Son to be the payment for our sin. He died that cruel death on the cross, shed His blood and gave His life so you could have freedom, so you could have eternal life, a home in heaven. That's a gift of salvation, the Bible says. It's free to you, but it cost Jesus everything. It cost Him His life. Would you be willing to right now in your seat, if you don't know that you're saved and you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, would you bow your head and your heart to Him and ask Him to come into your heart and save you right where you are? At one moment of salvation, not believing in church, not believing in religion, not believing in all the things that we add to it, but only in Jesus Christ, I'd like to encourage you right where you're seated to ask the Lord to come into your heart and save you. I'll have a word of prayer, and you can repeat the words after me. Nothing special with the words that I say specifically, but you must believe in your heart, the Bible says, and confess with your mouth that He is the only way to heaven. You could say a simple prayer like this: Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me my sin and take me to heaven when I die. I'm trusting in You as the only way of salvation. Please come into my heart and save me. With head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment longer, if you, for the first time, with all your heart, by faith, ask the Lord to come into your heart and save you today, would you raise your hand as a testimony? We could thank the Lord for that and praise Him for that. If you made that testimony and that decision today to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you slip your hand up with no one looking around and put it down? Is there one in that room that made that decision? I see the hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there another? I made that decision today. If you don't know that, that's the most important thing you could know today. Lord, I pray that You would help heal our land. Would You please help us to start right where we are, in our homes, in our lives, in our churches, in our workplace, in our city, in our county, in our state, in our country, in this world, to make a difference, to turn our hearts and our lives back to You. We thank You, Lord, for this time to honor our country, to honor our responders. And I pray that You bless this meal to follow, and we thank You for Your blessing we have, and thank You for this time we could be here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.